We're going to go to the book of Mark in chapter number 10. The book of Mark in chapter number 10 tonight. So we continue to study what is prayer and what does the Bible teach about prayer. It's been a fascinating study. I believe the Lord's taught us many things, and I'm excited what God will teach us. And stop and think about it. We're just about halfway done with this year. Isn't that crazy? It's been a great study already. Mark chapter number 10, we have the story of blind Bartimaeus. He sat outside the city of Jericho. He heard that Jesus was passing by. And when he heard that, he cried out, and you probably know this, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The Lord stops, and that day that man is healed. Amen. Let's read the passage in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 46 is where we'll start reading. It says there, Mark 10, verse 46, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." He cries out and he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And when he does, the Lord stops. He stands still. Aren't you glad that when we call upon the Lord, he stops and listens? Amen. The Lord desired his presence. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He stopped and said, "Bring him to me." And I'm thankful. I know I'm just rehashing what we've already studied, but you see it here again. The Lord is waiting for us. He wants to hear us. And when we call on him, he is all ears. Praise the Lord for that. He wants to be us in his presence. And the Lord knew his need. The Lord knew. Before Bartimaeus even cried out, the Lord knew his need. Again, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture because there's so many great lessons here. I never can talk about it without mentioning how great God is here. From Luke, and you don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter 18 and verse number 35, we read, and we studied all this before, but as Jesus, the Bible says in Luke 18, when Jesus entered, came nigh into the city of Jericho, that Bartimaeus heard he was there. But here in this passage of Scripture, we learn that when Jesus left and was leaving Jericho, that he healed Bartimaeus. And when you stop and think about, you know, did the Lord know Bartimaeus was out there? Absolutely. Which is why when he enters Jericho, he passes by a wee little man, as we call him, Zacchaeus, and he looks up to Zacchaeus and he says to him, "Today I must abide at thy house." Now, obviously, because number one, Zacchaeus needed to get saved. But number two, the Lord knew that he needed to spend the day in Jericho. Should only took an hour or so to get through, if that, the whole city. But he knew there's a blind guy on one end of Jericho making his way to the other end to catch him when he left. And it's a wonderful thing that Jesus gave him the time to get there because he knew he needed him. Praise the Lord. Love that passage of Scripture. But in any case, when he comes out of Jericho, he meets Bartimaeus, and again he makes that cry, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Did he know who Bartimaeus was? Yes, he's the Lord, amen. He was waiting for him. He knew what he wanted. The Lord knew his need. But it's interesting in verse number 51 that Jesus goes to him and says, and he asks this question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Did Jesus know the answer to that? Amen. Yes, of course he did. So why did he ask the question? What was the point of this question? The Lord had heard him cry out to him, "Have mercy on me." The Lord was ready to help him. But before the Lord answered this prayer, he asked the question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" He had already cried out for mercy, but not until he speaks his specific request was the man healed. I want to preach to you tonight very quickly as we continue to study on prayer, on specific prayer request. We can learn much from this prayer in this passage of Scripture. There's many lessons to hear. What's the Lord teaching here? Why did the Lord require him to specifically ask for what he wanted? I mean, we all agree, right? The Lord knew that he wanted healed. We know the Lord already knew his name. The Lord already knew he's going from one end of the city to the other. The Lord even took his time in the city to make sure he got to where he's going to be so their paths would cross. The Lord knew exactly what was going to happen that day. The Lord knew how that man was going to be healed. But when that man cried out and said, "Lord, have mercy on me," he knew exactly what he wanted, but yet he still had him brought to his presence and said, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" Why did he ask the question? I want to present to you tonight that it's very important that we understand that we need to make our request to the Lord specific. Be specific. Again, it isn't that God doesn't know our need, but God wants us to be specific. You following that pattern of thinking? In the passage of Scripture, the Lord knew his need, but he desired for Bartimaeus to be specific. Why? Number one, because when we're specific, it is a time of searching in our hearts. It's a time for us to search our own hearts. The Lord understands our cry. The Lord is ready to hear us. Still, I believe he would look at us tonight through his word tonight and say, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" He wants us to search in our prayer request. And because that will take three things. When we do that, it demands, number one, time. It demands some thought. And it demands us to test what we're bringing before the Lord. Let me explain those very quickly. Number one, it demands time. It makes us search out our heart. It makes us search ourselves. I hope you catch what I'm saying. Let me give you an example. Too many times we throw out prayer requests, and I'm not saying not to pray these things, all right? But we have these, "Lord Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me" prayers when we say things like this: "Help me with sin. Help me not to sin." Or, "Bless my family. Help the missionaries." I believe the lesson we can glean from this tonight is the Lord would have us to stop and think, all right, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And let's stop and think about it tonight. I hope you pray. I trust you pray. I hope you spend time in prayer. But I want to challenge you tonight to maybe take this a step further. The Lord, for some reason, knowing what he needed, right? Knowing that he wanted healed, knowing that he wanted his sight, brought him into his presence and said, "What wilt thou that I do unto thee?" Bartimaeus responded, "That I might receive my sight." Well, we throw up a lot of prayers, and let's take the time tonight to stop and think. I hope you pray for Brother Harris and Brother Alexander and Brother Roberts. Hope you pray for them every day. But instead of saying, "Lord, bless Alexander's this week, bless the Roberts this week, and bless the Harris's this week," maybe the Lord might want us to stop and say, "Well, what wilt thou that I do unto them?" This is going to require some time to think. I'm not belittling, and I'm sure Mrs. Harris is saying, "Please keep saying, bless the Harris's," yes, but at the same time, let's stop and think about it. So what do you ask of God on their behalf? "Lord, bless my family. Lord, bless my children." That's a good thing. Well, what do you want? How do you want his blessing upon your family? In what way do you seek his hand in your family's life? What do you want for your children? This makes it a lot more personal. Amen? It makes us think a little bit, doesn't it? If the Lord, and I want you, again, all I'm trying to do on Thursday nights is just discovering what the Bible teaches on a prayer life. And I hope that you'll just apply this tomorrow morning, tonight, whenever your prayer time is, that as you begin to call out things to God, and I hope you do, that maybe you'll just have this coming through your thoughts. What wilt thou that I do unto thee? Well, he knows. He absolutely knows, but there's a reason he asks. Because we have to take the time to stop and think. And I believe you see here, it takes time and it takes thought. When we search these things and think about the specifics, the Lord begins to open different things to our eyes. I think all of us would agree we need to pray for God's mercy upon our nation. Amen? And the Lord may follow that and say, well, what wilt thou that I do unto this nation? Forgive our sins. Abortion would stop. That legislating evil is being right. That we'd have freedom to continue to preach and teach. That these riots would cease. That anarchy would go away. Safety for those police officers on the streets. Our inner cities would be saved. That lives would be changed for the Lord. People would get saved. Churches started. Our economy would heal. I could go on all night. When you stop and think about it. The Lord did not answer Bartimaeus' request until he got specific. Maybe we need some of that. It's good for us to stop and put some thought into these things. That we might think, Lord, be with our missionaries. Well, what wilt thou that I do unto them? I think it's one of the great signs of wisdom that Brother Harris asks us to pray. And I hope that you can repeat those. He asks us to pray for a people. In a place, and a pastor. And in the last few months, we've added protection and peace. It's easy, and I'm not belittling it. I hope you follow me tonight. It's wonderful to say, Lord, bless the Harrises. But let's get specific. What wilt thou that I do unto them? Help the Alexanders. What wilt thou that I do unto them? Help the Roberts out there in Colorado. What wilt thou that I do unto them? Help my children. What wilt thou that I do unto them? Every one of us tonight have our own special field. What I mean by that is this. My family, my friends, my neighbors are different than yours. So let's get specific. Let's begin to call their names out to God. I think you notice a simple history lesson. America, the colonies, won the Revolutionary battle. Isn't that wonderful? All right, one of us, good American patriot, all right? If you didn't know that, I'll let you know, we beat England. I just want you to know that, all right? Late 1700s. It's pretty neat. Read it. We won. Now, humanly speaking, should have been impossible. England was the mightiest nation on the face of the earth. Their armies outnumbered us. It's incredible. The one thing that really changed things is this. And there's obviously God's hand and all these other things. Let me give you one major factor every historian would tell you. If you ever study England, when they fought their wars, they all lined up in lines. And they all shot their guns. Then they would kneel down, reload, and the next line would shoot their guns. Just, well, America didn't do that. They were a bunch of hunters, frontiersmen. Instead of standing out there in the field in a straight line, they hid behind a tree and aimed and shot him in the head. Say, why are you telling us this now? Because they specifically targeted. We throw out so many just mass open prayers. Lord, help this, bless this, help our church, help our missionaries. There's some effectiveness there, but the battle's won when you stop and take aim. Instead of saying, God, help my son, why don't you start praying some specifics? Instead of saying, Lord, help our church, let's stop and put some time into this and put some thought into this and really seek God. Because when we do this, it demands time, it demands thought, it demands testing. Because when you take the time to stop and be specific, and I hope it does the same thing to you what this study did to me, kind of shakes you a little bit. Wait a second. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I would say the majority of us, you're like me, and not that we don't ever get specific, but we get caught into this trap sometimes of just vague prayers. And the Lord really shook me this week in saying, and every time I bow my head now, what wilt thou? It'll really change your prayer life if you stop and think about it with me. Help me and my spouse's relationship. What wilt thou? How do you want that done? Are you following me? All of a sudden now, well, wait, I just want you to help me, right? Well, what do you want? Well, I want us to spend more time together. Well, then spend more time together. Well, I want us to share our love more, maybe leave a note or something. Well, then leave a note. I want us to pray together. All right. As we begin to be more specific, we begin to think, oh, wait a second. And we begin to throw everything up there, a test, is how I put it, because now we need to ask ourselves, is this what God wants? We've been studying and hammering on the fact what Jesus said, ask and what? Amen. Brother Ben, can you throw up there James chapter 4, verse number 3 real quick? We ask, we'll receive, seek, you're going to find, knock. It'll be open unto you. But James chapter 4, verse number 3 simply says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Simply stated, when we stop and get specific in our prayer request, it makes us think, is this really what God wants? Is this really, God, I prayed at my, you know, throughout there, my daughter gets this job or gets this scholarship. There's nothing wrong with saying that prayer. But as you begin, instead of saying, Lord, bless my daughter, and they always start saying, well, help my daughter to get this specific job she applied for. You know, maybe you got a 30-year-old daughter that's applying for a job. You say, Lord, help her to get it. Well, what do you want? Well, I want her to get the job. Why? So she can make a lot of money? For what? And the more specific we get, the more we begin to test things by what God says is right. And it makes us think. Because a lot of times I think we ask things, and simply stated, is it a faith? Is it God's will? Do I expect to receive it? It's easy to say, Lord, bless our missionaries, but do you expect Him to do something this week in their lives? What are you expecting Him to do? Well, save souls. Well, then ask for God to save a soul in Magdalena de Quino, Mexico, Sunday morning. Amen? Pray for the Roberts. I pray you have a great Sunday. What do you want? Pray for a visitor. Help the academy. Your will to be done. But what do you want? We need 15. We need 15. Specific. I pray for young people. What do you want? What do you want God to do? Well, just be with our young people, right? What wilt thou that I do unto them? Are you following me how this begins to change the way you pray? Well, I pray that maybe a young man might surrender to the ministry. Amen. I pray that they'll marry the right person. Amen. I pray that they would stay away from immoral sins. Amen. I'm with you. I pray for our young people too. But let's start being more specific. You say, well, that's going to take some time. Amen. What wilt that I do unto thee? See, number one, it's a matter of searching, and I believe the Lord required this. Number two, because it's a matter of surrender. Bartimaeus, when he was asked, well, what do you want? He had to give his answer and then leave it with the Lord. His response there in verse number 51, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He asks specifically, knowing that number one, he was Lord. And if he's Lord, he can do what he wants to do. But it's also a matter of surrender because he also knew, Bartimaeus did, that Bartimaeus couldn't do anything about it. And he was willing just to leave it in his hands. There's a word for that. It's called faith. Which, by the way, is why Bartimaeus got his sight back. It says, Jesus said to him, verse 52, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. He understood who he was talking to and what the Lord could do. And so he just left it with the Lord. That's why we read in there about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. The Lord made this statement, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The Lord gave us the example there in his prayer time with the Father that, as Brother Alexander preached a few weeks ago, at prayer should change our will to match up with God's will. That's why the model prayer, we call it in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 10, Jesus said, when you pray something like this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when we start beginning to pray specifically, we begin to realize, well, this is what God wants, or this is not what God wants. Lord, I just want your will in this specific matter. It requires us, as we are specific, to search ourselves. It requires us to search God. It requires us to look at our own sin. It requires us to look at our own sanctification. And when we begin to pray, instead of just saying, Lord, help me to do right, then again, well, how? And now our specific sins can be called out before God. Where many times, Lord, just keep me from sin. Which sins? Well, I don't want to talk about that. Well, maybe that's why you're not getting victory. As we get more specific, it requires surrender. In a parallel passage to this one in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 28, he looks at Bartimaeus and he makes this statement after he said these things, believe ye that I am able to do this? Instead of saying, Lord, bless our missionaries, well then, Lord, send Brother Roberts one visitor Sunday morning to encourage his heart, to bless the family, send someone, all the doors they've knocked, all the people they've invited, may someone be a guest Sunday morning. And God looks at us and says, do you think I can do that? Oh, yeah. Lord, your will be done. Bartimaeus needed to be, he called upon the Lord. But Bartimaeus, when he stood there and the Lord said, what wilt that I do unto thee? Bartimaeus knew, I can do nothing about this, but you can handle it. I ask you to receive my sight. And God answered it, amen. I believe being specific, number three, and we'll close, requires and demands steadfastness. After we've searched, after we've surrendered, when we know this is the will of God, we're not going to quit. Because there's a phrase there, verse number 51, Jesus answered, said to him, what wilt thou? I hope you'll just catch this real quick. Prayer is not making a wish to God. This is the phrase that God used. God didn't say here in this passage of scripture, well, what are you wishing for? What wilt thou? What is your will here? What is it that you want? That's one of the things that makes man created in the image of God, is we're given a free will. We can make choices. Well, when we take the time to stop, I'm not telling you to go make all your wishes to God and be specific. Oh, I want $1 million. I want this. Because I can right now, I can make a wish. God, I want a bass boat. But my will is not to have a bass boat. You know why? I don't want to pay the money. It's a wish, but it's not my will. It's not something I'm determined, not something I know is God's will. It's not something I know I have to have. So my will is not there. Does that make sense? You may want a new pair of shoes, all right? Or a new outfit, some of you ladies, right? But you're not willing to pay the cost. So you go without, just like I am my bass boat, right? Because I'm not willing. The Lord didn't ask what he want. He said, what is your will here? What is it that you're asking for that you're not going to let go? That this is you are knowing that you're calling. You get the idea. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel all night? Let me go. I will not let you go till you bless me. His will was set. He wasn't going to let go until he got the blessing. Did he get the blessing? Amen. Amen. So often we call out these things to God and it's no part of our will. We're throwing out vague prayers. We're not being specific. We're just saying, Lord, do this, do that. We've almost been trained to say certain things. When your will is set, when there's a delay, you don't quit praying for it. When your will is set and you know it's God's will, and you have a scriptural reason to pray for this, you'll be steadfast. So I want to get there. How can I be so confident in the will of God? How do I know what to pray? Look at that phrase one more time in verse number 51, and we'll close in another verse. It says, and Jesus answered and said, and what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Matter of the will. Turn over to the right, John chapter 15. We'll close in prayer. John chapter 15 and in verse number 3. Look at this verse with me real quick, please. John 15 and verse number 3. John 15, verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15, and in verse number 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It's a precious promise about prayer, amen? Ask what you will. What is your will set to? Well, my will has to be conformed to his will. You have to abide in him. How do I abide in him? Be in the scriptures. Be dependent upon him. Draw from him every day. And when we abide in him and his words abide in us, now all of a sudden, we can pray, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? Let's be specific. At least let's work on it together. Because the Lord had a reason. And it will take some, obviously, some searching and some surrender in our life. It will take some time, take a lot of thought. We'll have to hold it up against the Word of God. But when you know this is what God would want, then I can pray in confidence, this is what I will too. And it changes our prayer life.